This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to The Megyn Kelly Show, your home for open, honest, and provocative conversations.
Hey everyone, I'm Megyn Kelly. Welcome to The Megyn Kelly Show. President Biden takes to the world stage. Speaking at the UN today, yawn. It comes as Vladimir Putin mobilizes more troops and threatens nuclear action. That's no yawn. He seems to be seriously saber-rattling now as his fortunes in Ukraine are going in the wrong direction. Keep an eye on that. The White House is, meantime, continuing to do cleanup over the president's comments about the pandemic, about Taiwan. And as it turns out, Scott Pelley did ask Joe Biden about Dark Brandon, the Dark Brandon speech. It's just 60 Minutes didn't think that was important enough to share with you. No, they did not ask about the border crisis. That was not among the list of outtakes. However, Joe Biden was asked about the border crisis yesterday at the White House, and we'll play you what he said. It continues to be a story. A number of migrants entering this country has reached an all-time yearly high. I mean, we knew we were on track for it. Now it's official. Over 2.1 million people arrested along the southern border during this past 12-month period. Think about that. We're not even done with the 12-month period. I mean, it's stunning. And we had a total meltdown in Martha's Vineyard over 50. And now it turns out we're getting the numbers. 78 of those people who were arrested while trying to cross our southern border, 78 were on the terror watch list. Nothing to fear. Joining me now, the guys from Ruthless, John Ashbrook, Michael Duncan, Josh Holmes, and the man known to his Twitter minions as Comfortably Smug. Together, they are ruthless in all the best ways.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome back to the show, guys.
Oh, it's so great. Thank you for having us.
I always miss you, and I feel like it's been too long since the last time.
I know it. You know? It's just like an old home week. Every time we do this, it just feels, you know, natural.
It does feel natural. All right. So let's talk about the fact that we looked at the number. 78 terrorists, people on the terror watch list, got in across our southern border this past 12 months. And you're like, okay, that's not good. And it's like, well, that's a lot. But how has it been? In 2019, guess how many? Zero. Zero. Wow. This is at least five times what it was just last year and something like 30 times what it was the year before that. Now you got zero in 2019. I mean, it's a disaster. And yet we have our vice president who's in charge of this crisis saying the southern border is secure, not to worry.
Oh, I mean, Look, first of all, God bless Ron DeSantis for doing what he did with the Martha's Vineyard situation, because there are some of us, like the Ruthless Variety Program and you, Megan, who cover this all year long, right? I mean, the crisis doesn't go away, and yet the mainstream media had absolutely no interest in covering this basically for the entirety of the Biden administration. And so this crisis persists. It means opioids in communities. It means human trafficking. It means just unspeakable things done to women and children at the border with coyotes and everything else. And yet nobody talks about it in the corporate media as if it's a problem. Well, now Ron DeSantis sends 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard. Next thing we know, it's now a part of our conversation. God bless it, because it reveals the hypocrisy of Democrats. Like they basically want to ignore this problem entirely until they show up in their favorite vacation destination.
I call it the taste of your own medicine strategy.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
where
right.
You basically you show the left the world that they pretend that they want to live in. Oh, you want open borders? Oh, you want amnesty? You want sanctuary cities? Well, now it's going to show up at your beach house. Let's see how you handle it. You know, like the millions of people who live on the border in this country who deal with it every day. And it's not just the crossings, right? It's, you know, it's how it stretches social services, how it impacts schools. You know, I mean, the people on Martha's Vineyard have no idea what it takes to actually absorb this sort of population into your local community for more than 48 hours before you deport them.
And that's the thing. So in Martha's Vineyard, they had 50 illegal aliens show up. And what did they do? This is among the wealthiest communities in this country. They set up a GoFundMe.
Right.
Because like this is an absolute crisis. They were happy to put up their sign that like in Martha's Vineyard, we believe that no one is illegal. They set up a GoFundMe so that for 40 hours, they deal with 50 illegal aliens. And as you brought up, over 2 million have been arrested. Think of how many more have come through, you know, without being stopped. 2 million compared to 50. So if for every migrant on Martha's Vineyard, there were 40,000 instead, that's what the situation is like in the border. But you don't see it from their beach house until Ron DeSantis brings it to them.
Well, you know, it's not only wealthy, it's also a vacation community. And after August, that means there's vacancy. And yesterday on the Variety program, we looked at Airbnb and found out that there were 75 mansions on the beach with vacancy.
Yeah.
So for them to say that they had no room, there's no room in the inn, it's completely
like, oh, we have no infrastructure. We have the most luxurious amenities available to mankind.
I've never been to Martha's Vineyard. I'm sure it's a very nice place. I'd like to go there.
It's truly they're like, you know, give us, you're tired, you're hungry, you're poor, you're immigrants, we'll take you. Come on in, no problem. And they're like, oh my God, get the hell out. Humanitarian crisis, get out with the boot. And then they literally were saying, they enriched our lives. We'll come visit you. We'll visit you at the military base.
I mean, that's the thing is when the situation became something they could actually see and deal with. I mean, there are, you know, the horror stories of what's going on in these border communities right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've shared one on the show personally. A friend of mine, his family is actually from one of these border towns in Texas. His father's a physician there, and a family friend owns a car dealership there. And his daughter was kidnapped by cartel members, taken back across the border, and he was told, you have to give us 5 trucks, or your daughter's going to be killed. So there's no help. There's no help from the administration. He gives them the 5 cars, and he gets his daughter back. Raped and beaten. There's so many stories like this. There's an estimate that half the women who come through illegally through the border have been sexually assaulted by these coyotes, by the cartels. This is human trafficking. This is not what the left is concerned with, trying to say that, oh, you know, these illegal migrants agree to be sent to Martha's Vineyard. Who among us would not want to get on a plane and be told you're going to Martha's Vineyard, right? They will describe
wandering around aimlessly in Texas.
Yeah, they won't talk about what the reality is like for people in these border towns who are dealing with this
or the middle of the night flights that the Biden administration has been executing here over the past 18 months.
To my backyard, to Westchester, New York, which is right in between New York City and Connecticut. And it's caught on tape. They don't even deny it. We know they've been doing that. What about those? Is that cruel and unusual? Is that using people for political pawns? What is that? Because the Democrats seem to have no problem with it.
It's different because Democrats are doing it, and the press says there's nothing to see here. It's different.
And also, liberals are just absolutely the most generous people in the world with other people's money,
right?
Yes.
And other people's stuff. But as soon as it becomes their money and their stuff, emergency.
Yeah, wait
emergency.
A minute.
How much money did they raise on the GoFundMe for the 48 hours that they had these migrants there? I mean, and so did they spend it on the migrants?
Figures. Well, that's the wildest part. So it cracked six figures, and then they released a statement. They're like, so the migrants were taken to a military base this morning. However, we will hold on to these funds to take care of like community needs in the future.
Oh my God.
Like, okay, great. It's awesome.
It's just wild.
Just in case it happens again, in case they come back.
The people of Martha's Vineyard, these millionaires, had a pass the hat program for the rest of the country to basically build up their rainy day fund. That is incredible.
Right. I mean, that's the Democrat Party today, is you have wealthy individuals who demand that taxpayers, working class Americans, pay for their college debt. Now, working class Americans have to, in these border towns, have to deal with an open border. All the consequences of what the liberals want has to be put on other people, and they should be allowed to live in the lap of luxury. It's only fair, right? I mean, that's the compassion.
Can I tell you, we looked at this yesterday in Eagle Pass, Texas. They have a population of 147,000 people, and they had more illegal migrants than that come into Eagle Pass this past year. More than the population of the town. So Martha's Vineyard can take a seat and stop their whining about humanitarian crisis. By the way, a word they will not use, crisis, when it's just happening along the southern border. But 50 of them go to this Tony town in Massachusetts, and it's a crisis. It's only, as you point out, a crisis when it happens to the Democrats. But here's something I've got to run by you guys. I listen in the mornings to, among other podcasts, The Daily, which is the New York Times daily offering. And today they took a deep dive into this, Martha's Vineyard, and how humane everybody on Martha's Vineyard was to these migrants, and what a douchebag DeSantis is, basically. They didn't quite use that term for doing this, you know, the sort of human props and so on. And then here was the bottom line by the reporter who was speaking to Michael Barbaro about it. Here's her bottom line on how this is backfired on DeSantis and the Republicans. All right, listen.
Lever has found a job working at concession stands.
One of the migrants.
Soccer games, football games.
He went to D.C.
sending money home to his 7-year-old son. He's bought himself a new cell phone. He's making plans to buy a car. A used car, a 2012 Honda Civic, but nonetheless a car so that he doesn't have to rely on public transportation. Mm-hmm. And after that, he plans to move out of the shelter where he has been living since I met him in late July. Find a place to live, either share an apartment with some other Venezuelans or rent a room somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually told me that he's grateful that he got on the Abbott bus to Washington. People like Lever are telling their friends as we speak that they found work, that they're doing well, and so others will follow. And in fact, as has been the case for decades, more people will hear the story and come to the U.S.
Okay, so you see, there, her point is Abbott and Ducey and DeSantis will live to regret this because the immigrants are happy as clams. They get in. It's like they get jobs. They're like, you know what? It's awesome. They give you a ride to D.C. They give you a ride to Martha's Vineyard. And what I was thinking to myself was, this person doesn't understand at all why these governors are doing it. Contrary to her left-wing belief, they are not doing it to hurt the migrants, punish the migrants, and give them a miserable experience. They are trying to do that to Democrats. They are trying to do that to these sanctuary cities who feel none of the pain of having mass influxes of people, but have all of the virtue signaling that makes themselves sleep well at night.
And I think the important thing that you really got to stress in this situation is there are many people, like my grandparents, who put in the time to legally come to this country. And the process takes years when you want to follow the law. And when you're coming to America and you want to live by the rules of the country you're coming to and become a good citizen, and you believe in this country means you follow the laws of this country. And so while those folks wait patiently in line and do what's right, There's a reward right now from the Democrats for people to break the law. You should not be allowed to work if you break the law. This is a criminal act to enter the country illegally. Imagine, you know, you enter countries illegally across this world. You don't get a job and a cell phone and a Honda Civic. Only here right now.
Well, have you seen what they do in Australia?
This administration excuses this and has created an open border policy.
In Australia, I mean, you don't get past the border. It's like you will be put in what looks like hotel jail until you get out. Like you will not be enjoying the Aussies' company if you try to illegally immigrate into Australia. But you know what they're doing right now? And President Biden spoke to this yesterday. I'm going to play a soundbite. He's basically saying this is different. These are Venezuelans, so they're fleeing. These are all refugees. And, you know, we don't have diplomatic relations with them. We can't send them back. And therefore, because I'm asking myself, how did this guy she's talking about get a job within a couple of weeks?
Exactly.
And is he paying taxes on his job? Is he like, is that a job an American could have had? Like, what's the story behind this guy gainfully employed 2 minutes after he got here? And Joe Biden dismissed this as this is why he just wipes away 2.1 million illegal immigrants as follows. This is him at the White House. It's yesterday. I think it's soundbite six.
Why is the border more overwhelmed under your watch, Mr. President?
Because there are three countries that are fewer immigrants coming from Central America and from Mexico. This is a totally different circumstance. What's on my watch now is Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua. And the ability to send them back to those states is not rational. You could send them back and have them wait. We're working with Mexico and other countries to see if we can stop the flow. But that's the difference. Thank you.
President, why does that look like he's sending migrants to Delaware? Do you have any comment or response to that, sir?
He should come visit. We have a beautiful shoreline.
Oh, my God.
DeSantis should come visit. So basically, they're all Venezuelans. That's why he has to let them across the southern border. That explains the entire 2.1 million.
Well, he makes a good point. This is the first time in human history that Cuba has had refugees. So he's the first president to ever have to deal with these kind of circumstances. And when he says that we're working with Mexico to see what they can do to help, there was something. It was called Stay in Mexico.
The
previous administration had a policy to create a secure border, and this administration willfully got rid of all of it and stranded all the governors in this country who are now desperately, desperately seeking for help. And what he's doing by attacking Governor DeSantis, Governor Ducey, Governor Abbott, who are trying to bring this to attention. No one in the media was talking about this crisis, absolute crisis that we have with an open border until these governors try to say, hey, listen, how about you try and share the burden? You think you're a sanctuary city, you think you're compassionate, share the burden that we're having every day in our communities. And now it's like, oh, wow, this is a stunt. I can't believe you would do this. President Biden needs to be allowed to enjoy the nice beaches of Delaware in peace. Why are you doing this, Ron DeSantis?
It sort of struck me, first of all, every time Biden turns around and walks back towards the microphone, I guarantee his staff has like four valve heart.
Like, oh no.
It's wonderful.
Like, oh my God.
That's the moment you're like, yes, watch.
Right. So you tune in. But then, like, and you touched on this, the idea that somehow Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Cuba is a new problem in the world. It's amazing. Remember the Sandinistas in the 1980s? How about Hugo Chavez? Does that ring a bell? Like, I don't know, Castro. Maybe seems like we've been dealing with this for quite some time, Mr. President.
Well, also, I believe the vice president was tasked specifically with going to these countries to solve the root.
This crisis. Yes, which is why she didn't have to go to the border itself, because she was going to the root.
She was going to the root of the problem.
Yes, the root. And so now that she's visited the root.
Which was like 300, was it? She was, the closest she got was 400 miles away from the border, I think. Yeah.
But fortunately
those roots are deep.
Yeah, very deep roots.
Fortunately for her, there was a group of immigrants who showed up outside of the Naval Observatory, which is the mansion where Kamala Harris is allowed to live. And she didn't do anything with them. I mean, I don't know if you saw this video. It was on TV, and she had her motorcade just blow right past them. She didn't stop and give them a Lito's pizza. She didn't try to help them get a Honda Civic or whatever the other lady from Barbaro's show was talking about. Like, she didn't do a single thing except go down to the White House so she could ruin another thing about our country.
Here's what you got to love. This is quintessentially American, because these Venezuelans or whoever they were who were transported to Martha's Vineyard, they figured out right away how to be an American. File a lawsuit. That's Bingo. What we do. We sue each other. It's amazing to me. So these 50 migrants, well, now there's a class action. There's a class action by the migrants who are flown to Martha's Vineyard on DeSantis's dime on a private jet. They've sued DeSantis and some other Florida officials, saying that they were wrong. It was false imprisonment, and it was negligent infliction of emotional distress. Their emotional distress, far more, they allege, than they experienced when they fled their countries of origin. The private jet into Martha's Vineyard, where they were then taken care of by these fat-walleted locals who'd been given $100,000 by GoFundMe, was so traumatic, more so than fleeing allegedly Venezuela, that now DeSantis needs to pay them millions of dollars, thanks to, of course, some far-left progressive group that got its hands on these people, as the progressives try to say, how dare you manipulate human beings as political props?
I mean, of course it's supreme bullshit, right? I mean, of course what they're talking about has absolutely no basis in reality. But what I find so hilarious is you get a bunch of ambulance chasing lefties mm-hmm. that have sort of corralled these folks. And you're like, hey, man, I think we can get some cash out of this deal. And by the way, I only collect when you collect. All right. So I will do this. It's gratis. But, you know, it's a little something for the effort along the way.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Explain how 48 hours on Martha's Vineyard was more traumatic than being trafficked by a coyote over 1,000 miles, you know, about it's like the women ridiculous. Getting raped. I mean, like, it's just absurd and frivolous. But of course, I mean, this is what, you know, what you expect from the left. What I find particularly interesting about the issue of immigration, these blue states, you know, when we were having a lot of discussions about taxes and COVID back during the Trump administration, you had a lot of these blue state members of Congress talking about maker states and taker states. And of course, the taker states are the red states that don't pay their fair share, right? Well, I can't think of a single issue in this country where the red states have to take all of the burden. Mm-hmm. And you have these blue states who have no idea what the cost is for this to absorb 21 million people. It's just insane.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder.
It's a good move. Go ahead, Josh.
I wonder a lot about the worldview of people who become incensed that you have transported migrants to, you know, a blue state, blue community, and think that that is basically a humanitarian crisis, but don't actually see the root problem here as President Biden during the campaign and Kamala Harris and basically all Democrats promising future migrants, not only will they be welcomed at the border, but they'll be assisted, right? Free healthcare. I mean, we heard them talk about this in the debates, and yep. you saw that first couple waves of a crisis building after they took out Remain in Mexico policy, stopped the building of the wall and everything else. You actually asked them, and they're like, well, yeah, I mean, we heard the now president of the United States say that they would welcome us with open arms. And what's resulted in that is a humanitarian crisis. They are directly responsible for the rapes, for the maltreatment of children, from the coyotes, mm-hmm. from the drugs in the communities all across this country. That is a direct line responsibility.
I think they want it that way. Just as we see with the other policies, like the way that they get the Green New Deal done is they destroy the energy markets. They make gas unaffordable, yep. right? Like the pain is the point. And I think it's the 100%. same thing with immigration. They want to overwhelm the system so that, you know, our public policy debate is basically like, well, our hands are tied. There's nothing we can do. We're yep. going to have blanket amnesty for 21 million people because they showed up. What can we do? Oh, of course, we encouraged it for years, but part of that, the destruction is the point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Creating the crisis so that inaction becomes the solution.
Right.
The messaging we're getting is exactly as you just said, Josh Holmes. It's this is inhumane. These Republicans are heartless because they think that's what's going to appeal to their base. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre on Morning Joe. Oh, my God. What a combo. Oh, yesterday morning. Listen.
The president talks about how it's important to treat this people morning. With dignity. And what you're seeing from Governor DeSantis is inhumane. It is not solving a problem. It is not a solution. It is causing chaos and confusion. And these are people who are fleeing communism.
I don't even know where to begin processing all of that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Voters have processed that bullshit. Latino voters in this country have processed that bullshit, and they support Republicans in this midterm election.
Yeah.
And I think that this is not something that Democrats really thought was going to happen. but it's something that's happening in states all across the country. You have Latino voters moving in record amounts to Republicans because they want change. They want an economy that works.
It was a horrible.
They're tired of the bullshit.
It was horrible that the Democrats somehow thought that, well, Latinos must support illegal immigration. What's the exact opposite?
Right.
I mean, what kind of expectations are you saying that? Like, yes, we think this community will like people who break the law.
Yeah.
That's awful. Like, that's unbelievable.
Let's talk about dignity for a second. If you want to treat the Latino community in America with dignity, don't assume that they support people breaking the law. Don't assume they want to be called Latinx. Yeah.
Don't call them tacos either. Do not compare them to tacos. Right. If they take a lesson, Mrs. Vice President or Mrs. First Lady.
Doctor,
First Lady. I love that it's inhumane to send these immigrants to Washington, D.C., to New York City, to Chicago, to, you know, all these great towns. Okay, so that's inhumane. Or is it just DeSantis sending the 50 to Martha's Vineyard? Because no one's saying Martha's Vineyard is bad. What they're saying is he didn't give any notice. You know, I guess Abbott and Ducey will give the receiving tab. But I'm just wondering whether does Eagle Pass get notice when the, you know, when the migrants run across the border? Do people on the other side of the Rio Grande get a bunch of notice when people are coming here and they're drowning? We watched a boy almost drown to death yesterday on camera. Is that humane by telling them it's open borders? Fox News has got the guys on tape saying, yeah, it's open border. We understand it's an open border. People are dying. They're getting raped, as you point out, Michael. How is that humane? You want to focus on these 50 migrants who were treated like kings and queens for 48 hours before they got the boot by Martha's Vineyard residents. Let's look at the bigger picture, but they won't.
Well, I mean, it is inhumane in the sense that, you know, as she described, these are people escaping communism and then they're being sent to D.C. and New York. We're finding the biggest proponents of communism in the Western Hemisphere. So it could be inhumane.
That is particular. Let me just like flip it on its head for a minute. And what she's talking about is being inhumane on what Governor DeSantis did. Let me just suggest that if what Governor DeSantis did results in liberals in this country and, you know, people in this administration recognizing the fact that there is a border problem and actually trying to help Republicans solve it, the guy should win a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
at this point, there's only been one party that says anything, but there is no border security problem in this country. If that just changes a half inch, give the guy the Nobel Peace Prize because you will have achieved something that nobody else can.
I do want to ask you about another thing on Joe Biden and his comments over the past couple of days. And we'll go back to the Korean thing. I'm just asking my team if they have this thought. Joe Biden was, did you hear the Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday on like trying to say the border was secure, guys?
Oh, God.
Did you hear it?
Black it out. I don't even know.
No. Oh, my God. It was the worst. I mean, I'll give her points. She was talking on Morning Joe. She didn't have her notes there. She said all that, you know. But she did that without her little note card and actually managed to string two sentences together that made some sense. Anyway, she tried to argue that the border is secure the other day, and it was her worst soundbite ever. We'll pull it over and I'll play it for you in 1 second. But as we wait, it turns out that Joe Biden was asked about the Dark Brandon speech by Scott Pelley. We pointed out in the broadcast yesterday. He wasn't. It didn't make the piece. Well, maybe even worse than that. Pelley felt the need to ask about it. And then the editors at 60 Minutes were like, no one cares about Dark Brandon. Oh, we got it. Okay. Hold on Dark Brandon, because I just got to show you Karine Jean-Pierre on whether the border is secure. Watch this, please.
Does the White House stand by those comments that the border is secure?
What we stand by is that we are doing everything that we can to make sure that that we follow the process that's been put forth. That's why we have historic funding to do just that, to make sure that the folks that we encounter at the border be removed or expelled.
And Morning Joe said, let's book her.
I think she took some speaking lessons from Kamala Harris on that one. Didn't it sound like
brutal?
It sounded the vice president.
Yeah, where she 100%. Starts a sentence and meanders and has no idea how she's going to finish it, but for some reason keeps talking.
I got to give Ashbrook credit. He points out consistently how easy it is to be like a Democrat communications staffer.
Easiest job in this whole business.
You could write a press release. Job. You could write a press release in crayon. And the media would write it up word for word.
Like, wow, Michelangelo Sistine Chapel's got nothing on that.
The Morning Joe interview is a perfect example. I mean, there she is just saying her talking point, and Mika's like, oh, yes, yes, yeah. Great point. Yeah. And it's like, what is this supposed to be, like news television?
I mean, it's emblematic of Biden's campaign, where he just hides and the media carries him across as much as they can. And now we have a crisis, a legitimate humanitarian crisis happening on our southern border. And the media is yet again scrambling to try and hold this administration together when Americans with their own eyes are now seeing how awful it is. People in Martha's Vineyard are now seeing for the first time with their own eyes how awful it is. And I think it shows so much that this administration has zero answers. When she's up there stammering and flipping the pages for 30 seconds, your job is supposed to communicate what this administration's position is, if they have a position, and the lack of one creates the crisis.
Well, yes or no question.
How does this administration reconcile that answer, right, with the footage that we still see every single day from the border? Bill Malugin from Fox has been doing a great job.
Incredible job.
I saw the video of literally hundreds of migrants just walking down the side of a highway in Texas. Mm-hmm. Are those people being expelled and removed?
What about the people who are dying in the back of these trucks? That's made big news twice over the past 6 months, where you've got up to 100 migrants dead in the back of a truck because they're left there. Somebody ditches them. It's 100 degrees out. They have no food or water and they die. I don't remember her weighing in on that.
Dying in there from heat, from the heat.
Right.
With your family.
No,
imagine the horror of that. They consider themselves a humanitarian.
Megan, where's their class action lawsuit?
Yeah, oh, they don't get where's one? Where's this liberal group there?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, exactly right. All right. So listen, I'll save Dark Brandon and Pally asking Biden about it. And you wait until you hear his defense on it.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Guys, Scott Pelley did ask Joe Biden about the Dark Brandon speech, and I want you to, we cut a little bit longer soundbite, okay? Because he asks him about conflating what Scott Pelley seems to understand is the evil MAGA Republicans with like the normal Republicans. And Biden kind of tries to deny that he does it. And in this clip is a clip of Dark Brandon. So it's important to listen to what Biden actually says in that clip. Within this clip, watch, you'll understand.
Sir, in your Philadelphia speech recently, you warned of MAGA Republicans, those who attacked the Capitol. But later in the speech, you conflated them with people who disagree with you on abortion. And I wonder if
I did not. That's a misreading of my speech. It's a fundamental misreading of my speech.
Well, sir, you talked about the right to choose. You talk about the right to conception. You talk about the right to marry the person you love.
MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love.
I was making a speech about the state of affairs and the Republican Party and us. I wasn't just talking about MAGA Republicans. The MAGA Republicans are the people who say, refuse to acknowledge that an election took place and there was a winner. The MAGA Republicans are those people who, in fact, say that the use of violence is a legitimate tool, like what happened to the Capitol. They're the MAGA Republicans. You can't call yourself a Democratic Republic and support violence internally against the government, and at the same time talk about not recognizing the outcome of the election is overwhelmingly agreed to be legitimate.
Do you fear that speech created more division than unity in the country?
No, I don't fear that at all. I think a significant portion of mainstream Republicans know it to be true and agree.
All over the board. So first of all, Pelley says you conflate MAGA Republicans with people who support, you know, who are pro-life. Absolutely not. You're misrepresenting my speech. Then you hear the speech where he clearly says MAGA forces are determined to take this country back to the place where you had no right to choose. Now, that's clearly tying MAGA Republicans to the pro-life movement. If you're a pro-lifer, you're a MAGA Republican who's an election denier. That's clear. That was the takeaway by many people on the right who listened to this, even never Trumpers, even like some pals I listened to at the Dispatch or National Review who don't like Trump were kind of like, yo, bullshit. You know, bullshit. We may not be Trump fans, but don't lump us in with election deniers just because we're pro-life. So that's what Pelley was trying to push him on. I absolutely did not do that. I did not do that. And then on the out, Biden basically says, well, all Republicans are bad. What I'm trying to say is I'm really trying to tell you they're all bad.
In fairness, Megan, this president has a long and demonstrated record of having absolutely no memory of what he said. this has been an entire presidency filled with
senior moments.
Yeah. Where he's like, no, I never said that. Like, well, I mean, here's the tape. I mean, the funny thing is in the same, the most notable omission of what he actually said happened 6 months ago when he said he would use forces in Taiwan.
Right.
If China had an incursion, and then the White House
had to walk it back,
But then he was asked directly after that, and he said, no, I never said that. And then now in the same interview that we're talking about, that question happened again. Right. And he said,
and he gave the same answer.
I mean, he literally, the only plausible answer to any of this is he has no clue what it is that he ends up saying.
The Biden doctrine.
I think he knows exactly what he's saying, and he just his daddies at the White House keep trying to dial it back. It's like me. No, Thatcher cannot have a play date on Sunday. Yes, I can, Mom. I set it up. No, he cannot. Joey cannot play. Members of the media, we will not play in Taiwan. It's embarrassing.
The entire Biden doctrine is dependent on which synapses are firing in his brain that day.
My God, it's terrible.
Drawing clocks.
Can I tell you something? This isn't even going to work because there was a poll just out today. I'm trying to think who put it. It was a new Harvard Caps Harris poll that asked about this term MAGA Republicans. And the question was, are you more concerned about the socialist left in America and the power they're gaining, or more afraid of MAGA Republicans and the power they're getting? Just 45% said we're more concerned with MAGA Republicans. 55% said way more concerned about the socialist left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, that is telling. I mean, that is so telling. And I got to be honest with you, like, as your typical kid growing up in America, whenever I heard the clock on 60 minutes or for 60 minutes on Sunday afternoon, that's how I knew the fun was over. Football was done and Monday was on around the corner.
Yep.
But this interview was special. And like, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that that Pelley and company didn't include this particular clip on the broadcast version. But there were a lot of bangers in that broadcast version. I mean, you had Biden saying incredibly stupid things over and over and over again. And to your point, Megan, I'm even though the media is their friend, I'm shocked that they put him in front of this in this interview because he just did not look good.
Well, I think I think the reason why the media is doing that to Joe Biden right now is because I think the media recognizes that this argument, this painting with a broad brush about, you know, these MAGA Republicans, they're going to take over our country and every, you know, Republican's a domestic terrorist. They realize that that rhetoric and that argument is a party that's in its death throes ahead of the midterm.
Yes.
That if that's what their argument is for why you should reelect united Democratic control of Washington, that it's not going to work. And so the media, I think, is sort of refereeing that argument a little bit because they know it's going to fail.
Well, the more they can put Trump in the news, the better, as they see.
Right.
So that's why we had Dark Brandon and them trying to, you know, tell the world that all Republicans are part of MAGA Republicans and bad and evil and you need to vote against them. But I don't know. It feels to me like these Senate races we're watching are getting tighter. you know, Carrie Lake, who the media has universally tried to demonize, running for Senate out in Arizona, is now at least even, like even when she was like 12 points behind the Democrat out
governor.
There.
She's running for governor. Yeah.
Governor. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, these races are tightening as the Trump Mar-a-Lago thing drifts from the news, and they'll do whatever they can to get Trump back in the news. And that leads me to today, where Tish James, the Attorney General of New York, has now filed a civil fraud case against the Trump Organization, Donald Trump. I think it's also against Eric Trump, Don Jr., and Ivanka Trump, where she's going to allege that they committed some sort of a fraud. She's been sniffing around on this for the better part of a year. This is the case in which Trump asserted his Fifth Amendment rights not to testify at his deposition, because he's accurate that she wants to come after him and he chose not to give her any fodder. But anyway, so she's filed a case against him and his kids, trying to claim that they overstated the value of their assets in order to get better deals. I don't know what that'll play out. It's a civil case, again, not criminal. But at the same time, you got a poll coming out of Florida showing, for the first time I can remember, you guys are much closer to it, Trump is losing to DeSantis among GOP voters in Florida by 8 points, I think it is. I think it's 48% for DeSantis, 40% for Trump. And in January, it was the reverse. It was Trump 47 and DeSantis, I think, 40. So it's been a 14, 15 point swing in Florida in favor of Ron DeSantis over Trump. So is the nonstop focus on Trump working? And is it working to, if it's working for, I don't know, but I don't know if it's working for Biden, but is it actually working for DeSantis?
Well, I think these are two separate issues, Megan. The first issue, which concerns me a lot, and not even touching the substance of all of these various investigations or prosecutions against Trump entities, it is amazing to me that for somehow all of these things and what they're talking about with this latest litigation are things that happened like years, if not decades,
yes,
previous. It is amazing that all of this has all been sort of sitting around for as long as it has until within 100 days of an election.
Bingo.
All of a sudden, you have a deep concern about classified information that for a year and a half was apparently sitting at Mar-a-Lago, and nobody had any concern about it until 100 days before an election, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody, Tish James and all these various investigations into Donald Trump and his businesses, that's been around forever, but all of a sudden we're 60 days within an election and that becomes a big issue. If you're an American, and I don't care what your opinion is, if Donald Trump or anything else, if you're an American, boy, that feels an awful lot like a political agenda within the confines of our justice system. And there is nothing, and I mean nothing, more dangerous to the survival of our republic. And they like to talk about our democracy a lot over there. There is nothing more dangerous than the idea that the average American thinks that their government will prosecute you entirely with a political agenda if you just so happen to have some opinions they disagree with.
And I mean, I think that's the most clear-cut case that we have right here with Tish James, where, I mean, there was a video that went viral of in Manhattan, a guy is swinging a hatchet, attacking
yes.
people inside of McDonald's. Okay.
Yes.
And then and now he's back out. He's back out on the streets. All right. But they're worried about how do we file cases against Republicans right during election season? That's mm-hmm. the focus. Your job is supposed to be defending the public from criminals. And what they're trying to do is attack their political enemies. Her priorities are 100% based on politics, 0% based on what is good for the public of New York. People there every day are dealing with crime. It's unspeakable. Like when you go to New York City, it's still to this day a shell of its former self. It still hasn't come back.
Disgusting right now.
People there are terrified.
Well, and speaking of focus, and I think this answers the second part of your question, Megan, you know, the reason why Ron DeSantis, I think, is sort of going up in these national polls for 2024 is because of his focus, right? He is focusing on all of the issues that animate the Republican Party, mm-hmm. and he's actually fighting and winning on these issues. You look at issues
right.
like
yeah.
schools, you look at issues like immigration, and he has that sort of combative nature to him where he's taking on the media in a way that, frankly, a lot of Republicans have failed at. You know, mm-hmm. that they've accepted the framing
of
the media.
Don't you find it extraordinary that in Florida, Trump would be losing to DeSantis? I realize DeSantis is governor of Florida, but Trump is, you know, he's at Mar-a-Lago. It's like, that seems to me like deep Trump territory. I think it does seem to me there's a way forward for DeSantis if these numbers are real. Go ahead, Kasman.
I think just as Duncan described, like DeSantis has a huge advantage in the sense that he's in a position as the governor of Florida to be able to take on these issues, but it's a lot of credit to him that he is completely focused on these issues. What matters to the people? What matters to the voters of Florida? He's going head on right after. Like every story that you read about Ron DeSantis is not about Ron DeSantis. It's about Ron DeSantis did this thing.
That's
and the
true.
Thing that he did is attacking an issue that the voters in Florida
that's
concerned
right. Well, that's right. That's exactly right. One of the great things that Donald Trump did for our party was show so many people how to fight, mm-hmm. how to take it to the press, how to take mm-hmm. it to the enemies. And what Ron DeSantis is doing right now is just that. And he's leading. He's showing people. And, you know, Megan, you know, in journalism, it's so much more powerful to show than to tell. And that's what Ron DeSantis seems to be doing over and over and over again. It's sort of like what Trump did over and over and over again in 2015.
There's also this old maxim in politics where you're never going to have a successful case to voters by focusing on the rearview mirror, right? Almost everybody looks forward either to change or to help build on something they agree with. It's always a perspective vision, right? And I've said this for over a year now with former President Trump, his omni-focus on the 2020 election will gradually become more and more out of step with even Republican voters who agree with him on the case that he's making because things change, right? The economy becomes extremely critical to middle-class families and trying to figure out how you're going to pay for groceries, right? Illegal immigration is something that I mean, if you're not a border town, dealing with an opioid epidemic or human trafficking is a real issue. So, and some of these cultural things that DeSantis has talked about with Disney and with the schools and everything in Florida, like all of those things are experiences that people are living in real time, right? And that is so much more powerful to your average individual voter than something that happened 2 years ago and you feel crummy about.
It's true. It's just the way it makes voters feel like, oh, he gets what I'm going through. He understands what's happening in my school district or at the border or all these things that DeSantis is touching on, whereas Trump has been a one-trick pony for 2 years now, obsessing over the election. And even if you believe he had it stolen from him, I'm not in that camp, but even if you believe that, at some point, you have to see what a terrible strategy this is for somebody like Trump who may want to run again. Now, let me run this by you. Talk to a guy who used to be high up in the RNC, right? And he said, Trump's not going to run again. Trump just can't say that he's not going to run again. And he said he would never declare anyway, because as soon as he declares, like, right, if he were to declare tomorrow on the chance that he is going to run again, the RNC could no longer pay his legal bills. They couldn't support him with his legal bills because the RNC has to stay neutral. So they can't be funding one guy's legal bills. So that I thought that was kind of interesting that like Trump will have to delay if he's going to announce that he's running as long as humanly possible because he's got a lot of legal bills. But it was this guy's strong belief that he will not run again, that he's too worried about losing.
Well, to my understanding, I think the RNC has stopped paying those bills. I think it was unfortunately right around the time that this latest, you know, case against Trump came up. Right before that is when I think some kind of like time period lapsed or whatever. The RNC is no longer paying for his attorneys, that it's now being paid by the outside group that Trump manages.
Yeah, the Save America PAC actually picked
Save America PAC.
Extraordinary bill in this latest report in terms of legal. I think it was their largest expenditure.
Because the Dems just keep going after this guy. They right. just keep suing him.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, look, Megan, I think I don't know what the motivation is. I do know that Donald Trump and his supporters very much want him to be a part of the conversation. Right. And I think that's why he continues to be involved. I doubt very much that he's going to recede from the national scene in one way or another. Either he runs or he's going to have an instrumental role in that nomination process.
Yeah,
well, I mean, what Republican could win if they didn't get his blessing?
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out, right? I mean, I think that's the answer that everybody's looking for is what happens. I mean, ultimately, is a Ron DeSantis somebody who captures the imagination of the Republican Party, you know, Trump or not? And I just don't know the answer to that yet.
You got to get a scenario where Trump, if the Republicans want to win with somebody other than Trump, where Trump endorses the guy, that core MAGA group, I don't think they go with anybody other than Trump without the famous thumbs up from their leader. All right, stand by, because the next block is going to be the best block. We have to get to Don Lemon. We've got to get to Sonny Hostin on The View taking an unbelievable shot at Nikki Haley. We've got to get to the man with the huge breasts in Canada. There's a lot to go over. All right, stand by. As the guys from Ruthless stay with us. And don't forget, you can find this show, The Megyn Kelly Show, live on Sirius XM Triumph Channel 111 every weekday at noon East. Our full video show and clips are on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MegynKelly. That's a good way to catch up on some fun highlights. If you prefer the full audio podcast, just listening while you work, follow and download on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast for free. And you can also get a weekly email from me with all the updates on the news and my damn dog at MegynKelly.com. There's more to tell.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
There's so much to get to. So the ladies of The View decide to talk about Nikki Haley. Sonny Hostin takes a shot at Nikki Haley yesterday because they're talking about, I think, who could either run for president or be a running mate. And somebody throws out Liz Cheney. Of course, The View is going to say she could be the Republican. Liz Cheney, sure. Nikki Haley. And Sonny Hostin takes that discussion here. Listen.
I think that Nikki Haley was incredibly effective governor of South Carolina. A lot of people don't go by their actual real
name. What is her name?
Yeah, I believe it's, I don't want to mispronounce it. It's Indian, but her background's Indian.
She doesn't necessarily, you know, I think if she leaned into.
A ton of people don't go by their color name. I wouldn't be shocked that as somebody, an Indian woman growing up in South Carolina at that time, she actually did to avoid prejudice. So I just want to be careful about critiquing her for going by the name she's always gone by.
There's some of us that can be chameleons and decide not to embrace our ethnicity so that we can pass.
Sonny, I don't think that's fair. You go by a different name.
Yeah, I didn't want to be the one to say it. Most Americans can't pronounce Asuncion because of the under-education.
Oh my God.
The hypocrisy is just unbelievable.
I saw you touch your head, Duncan.
I want to go in on this one. So number one, Alyssa Farah, who we all know is a horrible rhino who would sell anything for cash. Anything in the store is available for cash. Of course, she's not an effective Republican communicator because she said straight up a lot of people go by different names. Nikki Haley is her legal name. It's on her birth certificate. All right. Yep. So that's point number one. Number two is, as they pointed out, Sonny doesn't go by her actual name. I don't know what.
Because Americans are too dumb, Smug. Did you hear that?
Alyssa
at the end?
Being like,
that's why the clip is so perfect.
South Carolina's a red state. Of course, the people that are racist. Who the hell? Like, of course, the only reason they will allow a quote Republican on that show is if they're declawed house cat that they can throw around.
Yeah.
So and that's Alyssa Farah's job. She was willing to sell her soul for that much. Right. And to get that point wrong about, well, maybe she made up her name. Nikki Haley is her legal name. It's on her birth certificate.
And okay? Sonny's not that woman's name. Bingo. You saw in the clip.
No, I mean, but Duncan, here's what's so crazy about it. So this is why I love the clip so much. Because at the end, Sonny's like, one of them points out, you know, Sonny's not your legal name. And she's like, that's because no one in America can pronounce Asuncion because of the ill education that we. So it's America's fault. Like, we're racist. And we're stupid and we're poorly educated. That's why she had to go with Sonny. But Nikki Haley just chose to pass. And that's why she went with Nikki. So Nikki Haley responds. I was like, oh, shots fired. Shots fired. Nikki Haley tweeted out yesterday in response to this clip. Thanks for your concern, Sonny. It's racist of you to judge my name. Boom. Nikki is an Indian name and is on my birth certificate. And I'm proud of that. What's sad is the left's hypocrisy toward conservative minorities. By the way, last I checked, Sonny is not your birth name. Oh my God, I'm dying.
Get her. That's it right there.
It is just remarkable lack of self-awareness for this woman, Sonny, whose name is not Sonny, to be critiquing Nikki Haley, whose name is Nikki, for not representing her culture. I mean, just incredible. But in case that wasn't sort of the coup de grace, the segment was ended by Whoopi Goldberg, whose birth name is not Whoopi Goldberg.
Right? No, no.
I mean, this whole thing is just absolutely amazing. It's like a perfect storm of hilarity. It's
nor is AOC AOC. You, right? AOC is Sandy.
You could not, right. You could not even write, if you were in the writer's room of SNL, you couldn't write this skit and get it on the air. They'd say this one, there's no way this is real.
How do they, I mean, honestly, I mean this sincerely, and I guess people do watch The View, which is amazing to me because it's like you get this level of intellect on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, that's got to be doing something to you, right? But like, how does this show persist in a way that like producers and everybody else are like, good point, ladies. This is really extraordinary content. Thank you. So, or do they just not care? I mean, you tell me, Megan, because you have way more experience in this line of work than we will ever have. How can they look at that and be like, well, this is a solid product?
It's like, first of all, they're hearing their own politics reinforced. So they're like, yeah, right on. Yes. Killed it. Knocked it out of the park. So that's the entire producing staff there. Is on the team of Sonny and Whoopi and Joy Behar. So they love it. And then secondly, it's like 11 o'clock in the morning and there's shit on. So it's like, you're good. You're like, what are you up against? Absolutely nothing. You're fine. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about ratings. This is basically a place filler until we get to the content that we actually care about. I just can't get over the fact that Sonny Hostin basically says, I had to change my name because Americans are too racist and stupid to pronounce Ascension. But Nikki Haley did it because she's some scumbag minority trying to pass as white. Like the incendiary nature of what she said with just exactly. Like,
I mean, no calling her a chameleon. How dare she? She called her a chameleon.
A chameleon.
That's an absolute slur.
And then Alyssa Farah is going to get up tomorrow and go on the show again.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I just cannot imagine any Republican sitting through that segment in person and then going back to the show the next day and cashing a paycheck. I mean, no. It's just
Alyssa Farah wants to be a star. She does not want to be true to any ideals that she may or may not have had. Sorry, Michael, keep going.
Well, I just, you know, I think it's a show where she's paid to show up every day and lose the argument. Yep. And I can't imagine that being part of your life.
In that that sense, well cast.
Yeah.
D. Claude Cat was pretty good. I got to say, Smug. Yeah. I think that nails it. All right. So much other fun to move on to. Speaking of, I don't know, there's so many places to go with what I was about to say. Let's just move on to Don Lemon. Okay. I don't need a long wind up. Don Lemon is in the news because he's been booted off of his primetime show. Shocking with the ratings he was pulling in. He's been booted off his primetime show, but they couldn't fire the guy. So they turfed him to The Morning, which is Oblivion in cable news, right? Unless you're Fox and Friends, you got nothing going on. Morning Joe, nothing going on. Certainly CNN has absolutely nothing going on, never has. So they turfed him to The Morning Show where he's gotten two co-hosts, not one, but two co-hosts. So let me just tell you for the record, when you go from solo anchoring your own primetime show to the early morning where you have two other anchors, it's not a good day. That's not a good thing. But you would not know that if you heard Don Lemon talking about his new big move, because according to him, this is a promotion. Listen.
I was presented with an opportunity that I can't pass up at this network, and I am honored that he asked me to do it. And for all of those who are out there saying, oh, he moved me and without my, he asked me and I said yes. I could have said no, but I was not demoted. None of that. This is an opportunity. This is a promotion. This is an opportunity for me to create something around me. And I get to work with two great ladies.
Oh, my God.
An opportunity for me to create something around me.
Around me? You mean a bit more about you than your own show with just you? Because that doesn't. Can I just tell you? There's only one proper response to that claim. Only one. We pulled the entire clip. It's from the movie, not the original show. Watch.
That's funny. I've never heard of a George Glass at our school.
That's because he's a transfer student. He came in the last week of school. He's really good looking, and he thinks I'm super cool.
Sure, Jan.
Oh, that's great. Sure, Jan. It's a perfect way to handle that.
What? I'm remarkably self-absorbed to think that, like, your average viewer is tuning into CNN and wants to know, like, the inner workings, minutia. My thoughts on where I get assigned to, you know, to do a show. It's just incredible.
I think
what we saw is just like a slice of trauma where he's got to walk through. Yes. He's just been told, you know, the new leadership's like, your show is absolute garbage. You're going to be fired, or, you know, maybe we can throw you on some morning show. And he was like, so I was presented with an opportunity. He told him to get the hell out of the building or do some like piddly morning show. And he was like, wow, what an opportunity.
Right. And now CNN has got three. I think Lemon Show may have been 2 hours. 3 hours of its prime time vacant. And I got to say, I'm liking it a lot better.
Honestly, if it was just those cable bars, you know, the color bars, yes, 2.5 hours, I don't think it would do any worse in the ratings, to be honest. I mean, it's been an absolute train wreck for years.
But okay, you know what? Go ahead.
I was going to say that the thing that it traced back here is when Chris Licht, the now CEO, took over at CNN, he was saying basically we're going to try to get back into the news business, which is easier said than done at CNN because it's been this way for a long time. And they kind of like systematically worked his way through the staff, right? The potato, Brian Stelter got the axe, John Harwood got the axe. They start, you know, and they're like working their way down. And like Lemon, frankly, Lemon should be absolutely thrilled that he's got the morning show. I figured he was like a first round draft pick to get out of the Licht.
You know what I'm really going to look forward to is that, like, essentially it's become a tradition now at CNN that their New Year's show is all their anchors get drunk and overshare.
Yes.
I can't wait till Lemon actually says, like, so he walks up and says, you're a clown. He's going to throw me at the building. And I accept an offer for a morning show. Like, his drunk rant on New Year's is going to be incredible. That's what I'm looking forward to.
But I mean, they cannot fire Don Lemon for the very reason that Don Lemon said himself when Chris Licht took over. Don't forget, I'm black and I'm gay. I mean, literally, this is the world in which they live. They're woke. They're all about numbers. They're about quotas. And Don Lemon went on the air right after Chris Licht took over and said, I'm black and I'm gay. Like, don't forget, you know, Jeff Zucker, he's the one who found me and gave me this position, despite the fact that I am black and I'm gay, just in case I didn't mention I was. And he knew what he was doing. I mean, I'm not going to say he's smart, but in that instance, he knew what he was doing.
I respect it. And I think what Don Lemon should do with this new morning show is he should treat every single morning show episode just like the New Year's Eve one, and have Anderson Cooper come on and get blackout drunk. Maybe we'll meet morning mimosas with Don Lemon. You know,
I'd watch
for sure. Be a train wreck as your day.
I'm Don Lemon. I'm black and gay and can't get fired.
Can't get fired.
It's like an hour of mayhem.
Like that, he becomes that guy at work who's an hour and a half late every day. You know, just like daring people to fire him.
So what is they call it? The soft quit? The soft quit.
Yeah. Yeah. Quiet quitting. Yeah.
The quiet quitting. Yes. All right. Now, Don Lemon may actually want to quit after the exchange he had with this British scholar. I'll get her name so that because we need to know this woman's name and actually book her very soon because she's amazing. He picked the wrong guest to try to play the reparations card with in discussing the British throne, British colonialism over the death of Queen Elizabeth II, right? So they had a discussion where Don raised that point and it went viral, not for the reasons Don would want. Watch.
Some people want to be paid back and members of the public are wondering, why are we suffering when you are, you know, you have all of this vast wealth? Those are legitimate concerns.
Well, I think you're right about reparations in terms of if people want it, though, what they need to do is you always need to go back to the beginning of a supply chain. Where was the beginning of the supply chain? That was in Africa. And when that crossed the entire world, when slavery was taking place, which was the first nation in the world that abolished slavery? The first nation in the world to abolish it. It was started by William Wilberforce, was the British. In Great Britain, they abolished slavery. 2,000 naval men died on the high seas trying to stop slavery. Why? Because the African kings were rounding up their own people. They had them on cages waiting in the beaches. No one was running into Africa to get them. And I think you're totally right. If reparations need to be paid, we need to go right back to the beginning of that supply chain and say, who was rounding up their own people and having them handcuffed in cages? Absolutely. That's where they should start. And maybe, I don't know, the descendants of those families where they died at the, in the high seas trying to stop the slavery, that those families should receive something too, I think, at the same time.
It's an interesting discussion, Hillary. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, that's an interesting discussion. Pretty rare you hear facts on CNN. I think we gotta let you go. Yeah. Thanks for your input. It's like 4 a.m. in London. She's bringing fire. Yeah. Outstanding work.
She just fed him face first into a wood chipper.
I mean, amazing.
Oh my God. She was so earnest. Her name is Hillary Fordwich. She was so earnest and like so likable. And I'm sure he was like, what the fuck is going on here?
I mean, honestly, that has to be an all-time best final appearance on CNN in history. Congratulations for her going out in a blaze of glory like that. It's like there's a film in theaters called The Woman King, right? Where it's about, you know, this brave warrior woman in Africa who fought and helped a king. What they said that they reimagined and don't cover in the story is that actually the tribe in Africa she was with was like the most prolific
slave traders
yeah. in the history of Africa. Yes. They're like, well, we left that out of the film to like reimagine it. It's like, oh my God. Like the entire left is trying to reimagine our history. And then when you have truth, just like slap them in the face like that, they're like, all right, well, that's an interesting point. We're going to have to let you go. Thank you so much.
Oh he had nothing. It's because all of his arguments are surface level. He never had anybody push back. So he was like, what? What?
I mean, that's
what?
CNN.
What I love about it was the part right at the top, Megan, where he says, you know, members of the public are wondering. And if you ever see that, it's always a nice little wink and nod because the media will insert itself into a discussion mm-hmm. that he wants to use to drive a narrative saying, yeah. people are saying, or the, you know, the public demands. And in reality, it's just what that guy wants to talk about.
Bingo.
Right.
Yeah. No, can I say, I was on GB News a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about that people are pissed off about one of the massive diamonds in the crown jewels, in the queen's crown. And they're like, we want that back. That needs to go back to India. That was the subject of plunder. They got that as a result of plunder, which is a fun word. I need to use that more often. Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? Let's take a look. I'm sure there's a history. So you go back. And to this woman's point that she was making, I said on GB News a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, you know what? Let's go. Let's take a look. Let's see if this is a subject of plunder, whether India owes it or Great Britain owes it back to India. Well, you will not be surprised to learn that before it was in India, it was in Afghanistan and it was in Iran. And both of their kings got murdered suddenly. And the diamond was suddenly in a new country. And so it's like murder, murder, murder. Diamond appears in the next new country. And then when India finally got it, by the way, it was Pakistan. So Pakistan is like, it's our diamond. If it's anybody's diamond, it's not India's done. So like, good luck trying to figure out who gets the damn diamond. But there is a contingency being like, give it back to India, you plunderers. People are just like, okay.
Well, I mean, honestly, just make it like a Game of Thrones situation. If some king dies, it should be like a free for all, right? Like if you can get the crown jewels out of there,
yeah,
it's yours.
Yeah, it's yours. That's exactly
I mean,
right.
Honestly, America's
keepers.
Owed a lot of reparations at this point. How many times have we helped Britain out? Whenever a monarch dies, it's time for everyone to be like, bills are due, time to pay.
Okay, wait, we got to shift up north. Forget America. We got to go to Canada. Something crazy is happening up there, you guys. It's cray cray. I mean, especially even for Canada, it's cray cray. There is a man who teaches science. He's in the shop class. So I think he teaches shop. And now he is a she. Now it's a male to female transition. Now she is Kayla Lemieux. Okay, we don't know what the guy's name was when he was living as a man, which was recent. So the shop teacher shows up now as a woman. And okay, that's controversial enough. I'm sure students were like, well, he used to be a man, but now he's a woman. And this is what Kayla looks like in the shop class. For the listening audience, I'm going to describe it.
Oh, my God.
The most enormous prosthetics you've ever seen. I mean, this Kayla makes
Megan,
Dolly Parton look small.
Megan, you
with
said
nipples.
Shop class?
Nipple.
Shop class.
Shop.
I mean,
shop.
That is a hazard around a circular saw.
Feels
dangerous. Did we have a picture of that? Dangerous. Duncan, we have a picture of that. Look. Look.
Oh, no.
Here.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
she's right by the saw. There's
I
a saw right there. The breasts are right there.
Boy, it's a little different from Norm Abrams, huh?
Oh my God. Who's Norm Abrams?
I can't believe there's video of that.
Boy, there's a couple of things the students will remember about that class, huh?
Oh my God, a couple of things. And for the listening audience, the breast prosthetics are so big. They're weighing down. They're down by like her belly. They're down by like the vag. They're off the rib cage. And the nipples are like the Samantha nipples in Sex and the City when she was like, oh, this is a fun thing. You stick it on and it makes you look like all nipped out. And there's obviously fake. They're like way pointy. I mean, it's like two small plums at the end of two huge watermelons. So, and this terrible blonde wig with these huge black glasses. Just, Kayla, I mean, the thing is, sweetheart, you need help.
It's horrific as an adult to see this. But then to keep in mind that this is something someone is doing around kids, right? That's at some point, I think it definitely goes from being a joke to being a crime. But we're now in a society where these are the people who are being protected. These people who are perpetrating this upon kids are actually a victim, and that they're who we have to look out for. And if you try to speak out against this and feel, hey, I think that's like completely inappropriate around children, whoa, you're the bigot.
Yeah, no, this is why they want kids to keep secrets from their parents, because if they told their parents what they saw on a daily basis, their parents, I mean, like, that's what the hell is going on.
Like, here's what all happened during COVID with parents not seeing like what Zoom school is. And they're like, this is what the hell they're teaching my kid. This is what my tax money's going towards.
Like, just imagine for a minute walking into the parent teacher conference and that comes at you.
She lays those on the table, you know,
no,
it's remarkable. So
you're right, because we have to laugh about it, but then we have to talk about how effed up this is, because it's deeply serious. Go ahead, Duncan.
Well, because it's borderline performance art, right?
Yes.
And our society now, instead of looking at that and saying that is ridiculous, now caters to it, right? And like, that's the thing, is like, you know, 10 years ago, we would have all said, well, this is ridiculous. Of course, she can't teach like that. But now you actually have to have a national discussion about how, you know, this is so important for her identity. I mean, she looks like she has the Mrs. Doubtfire fat suit on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's
only in one area.
The progressive movement now, you know, what progressive is moving from what was ridiculous and disgusting 10 years ago to acceptance. I mean, very quickly before our eyes. Like the fact that I've looked at this and they're saying that like the Canadian government will go after anyone who speaks ill of this individual.
If you want
to clearly ill individual themselves.
And why is it always in schools?
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Can't we just do math and like in shop class, build a birdhouse or something, learn how to use a circular saw, just do normal things.
That's
like,
right.
Why can't we do this in school? Like, why is it always in schools that these people are performing? Can't they like whatever happened? Like, isn't
take
there some
your fetish behind a closed door and do not shove it in my kid's face. For the record, they're standing behind her. The school is defending her, saying they recognize the rights of students, staff, parents, guardians, and community members to equitable treatment without discrimination based on gender identity and gender expression. We strive to promote a positive learning environment in schools consistent with the values of whatever. And that's regardless of one's gender identity or gender expression, even though they have a dress code with respect to the students that specifically says you're not allowed to show your nipples. You can't expose or make visible genitals or nipples in particular. But if you're a trans teacher, nip it out as much as you want, because that's about human rights.
It seems like a low bar to clear in the classroom, right? Like, don't expose your genitals. Right. Like, I mean, to be honest with you, like take this a step back to be like where we are as a society. Imagine if you're a dude who just teaches this class and you showed up in a banana hammock, right? Yeah, and you're like, hey, why the hell isn't everybody focused on the saw here? Why am I like, my banana hammock's just none of your concern. It's just like, you know, that's what I assume I am. Disrespect it. I think all of us would come to the conclusion that guy ought to be in jail, right?
Yes.
But like, no, not the case when we deal with this sort of story.
That's a good point. This is a safety issue. I hadn't even considered that. The distraction of the children dealing with mechanical equipment and saws. Like, they should be looking at one thing and one thing only. Let me tell you this. Peter Boghossian, who I like, he's been on the show. He sent out this interesting tweet yesterday. He writes, with this picture, Most people have strong moral impulses about whether this individual should be allowed to teach their children in a public school, but very few can construct a good argument why or why not. It's more difficult than you think. Try it. So the responses were epic. I'll just read you what I wrote. I wrote, no mentally well woman puts breasts of this size with her nipples popping out on display for children trying to learn. The fact that it's a trans person enamored with a new sex toy who wants to do a show and tell with minors makes it even worse and arguably misogynistic. See? Not hard at all. And then they went on. Ricky Gervais had some amazing responses. I can't go through them all, but it's not hard. This is somebody who, there's something wrong with this person. Well, there's something wrong.
Right. And I think what is revealed in this, Megan, and in that question is back to what Ashbrook was saying earlier about why is this always in schools? You look at things like, you know, drag queen story hour or stuff like this in the school. And what you realize is that this woke left sees the schools as the front lines in this battle for basically normalizing the outrageous about what they believe. And if they can get it done in the schools, then they can get it done in society.
Because it's not about accepting someone who's different than you sitting in a booth in the Red Lobster.
Right.
You know, it's never like a normal thing that normal people are doing and you're just not looking down on somebody because they're different. It's the drag queen story hour is the most preposterous thing I've ever heard of. Like, nobody does.
What child is asking for this?
No one.
I just want to build a birdhouse.
I did a little mirror, a little framed mirror in shop, and I never had to look at anybody's junk. And I was thinking to myself, let's say this was a biological female, right? Who's just big breasted or even who had enormous breast implants because that was her thing. Okay. I could get over that if she weren't putting them like on display, like low cut blouses or dresses. The nipples take it next level. Like the nipples tell you there's something wrong with this guy. He's trying to turn somebody on. He's probably turned on. Honestly, it probably turns him on to rub his weird little fake nipples or to have people see them. It's a thing. There's a reason you stick those at the bottom of those huge watermelons and put them on display for a bunch of children who are doing woodwork. So it's not the same as a woman who just happens to be well endowed or who likes big breasts. It's a man who's chosen to stick this obvious prosthetic on him and then make it extra, extra X-rated, which is weird. And I don't want him getting off near my kids. And I don't want him getting the nipples near my kids. And I don't want to have to think about anybody's sexuality or boobs when my kid is in shop.
I think it's very well taken.
That's it.
Also,
that's
let me just say as an aside, this is a conversation I never imagined having with Megyn Kelly. I'll be
guys. I almost led with this. Honestly, this is almost my lead.
Did you guys hear Megyn say "vag"?
I did. I'm still reeling.
I think you made the best point of all. It's a safety issue. It should be shut down. So 2 days until a kid loses a finger on that saw.
Yeah, don't they have OSHA in Canada?
Yeah. Right. Oh. I don't even know where to go from here. I feel like we've hit the apex. what do we possibly do to top this?
Where is OSHA? That's a good point. Okay, here's why. Oh my God, I'm crying, laughing so hard. So here's why the Canadians are not cracking down on Ms. Lemieux. Okay, they're off doing other things. I'm still crying. Justin Trudeau was off at the Queen's funeral and not worried about this teacher, but worried about paying the proper homage, the proper tribute to the now deceased Queen. And he settled on this.
Oh my
God. Oh my God.
Oh man.
Have you seen that?
That's the first time I've seen that. That's humiliating.
Freddie Mercury just rolled over in his grave.
He's upset. Man. Talk about a disservice queen.
It doesn't quite measure up to Candle in the Wind.
It was more of terrifying. Now, wait, I know you guys got to go, but I got to squeeze one other thing in. Joe Biden went to the Queen's funeral as well with our first lady, doctor, and they were seated in like the nosebleeds. We were like behind the Czech Republic. Like, I think literally we might have been, we were literally behind Poland and we were one seat in front of Czech Republic. And it reminded me of this scene. Remember when Trump, so here he is, he's walking in, Joe Biden's walking in. Remember when Trump went, I don't know, was it the G, I can't remember what summit it was, but he, the leader of Montenegro was in front of him. It was NATO. And Trump did the following, watch, we're going to show it in the, for the listening audience. It's Trump shoving the guy out of the way. Hold on, let's roll it. He's Trump's walking up. He shoves him.
That's an all-time move right there.
And then there we go. Yeah, it's just, fix the coat.
That's alpha male behavior. You shove a nerd in a locker.
I mean, America, it makes me miss Trump a little.
In locker. I mean, it's outrageous.
Give me your lunch money, Euro.
I don't think Trump would have stayed back with the Czech Republic at the Queen's funeral. I think he would have like pulled a Meghan Markle, tried to get himself on camera and in the front as much as humanly possible.
He probably operates much like he does on the golf course when he pulls the cart right onto the green and steps out and putts. Like, I feel like he's got his own, somebody will set up a chair right next to the casket at that point.
I think he would have set up trying to give the eulogy.
Next thing you know, he's a pallbearer.
She lived an amazing life.
All right. I know you guys got to go. I'm going to go spend some time thinking about that OSHA remark. Where's OSHA? That one got me, John. You guys are great. I love talking to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.
And that goodness is available to all of you every day. Well, they don't post every day, but often at Ruthless, you got to download the show. Thanks for joining us today. God, we had some laughs, right? We covered the news, had some laughs. Tomorrow, we're going where precious few have gone. We're taking a deep dive into Ashley Biden's diary. The feds have now confirmed it's hers, but no one will touch it, unlike all of President Trump's private information, Sarah Palin's private information. So we're going to take a look at what it says, and we're going to do it in a fair and honest way. We're going there. In the meantime, download the show on Apple, Pandora, Spotify, and Stitcher so you don't miss that. Also, go to youtube.com/Megyn Kelly because you really need to experience that segment we did with the pictures. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to The Megyn Kelly Show. No BS, no agenda, and no fear.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.